Okay, so today we're digging into some really fascinating research. It's about connecting global finance rules, specifically from the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, with, well, a pretty advanced type of computational
Yeah,
logic.
the BIS is key here. Founded way back in 1930, people often call it the Central Bankers Bank. Essentially, they set the global standards for financial prudence. Think Basel III, those kinds of frameworks. They define what stability should look like.
Right. But here's the rub, isn't it? Finance today is, continuous, high-frequency trading, AI making decisions, and yet the oversight, the regulation, it's still based on these periodic reports, snapshots in time, attestations. So there's this this evidence gap. How do you actually prove continuous prudence?
That's exactly the question. An algorithm is moving capital every millisecond. How does a regulator know it's being done safely? How do you get real accountability based in? And that's where this idea of ternary logic, or TL, comes in. It's framed as a new kind of evidentiary system designed really to provide the architectural how for the BIS's what, giving it teeth, you could say, providing verifiable proof.
Okay, ternary logic. Let's break that down. Most of us know binary logic, right? True or
Right.
false, plus one, minus one.
Correct. TL adds a third state, indeterminate, or hesitate, represented by zero. And that zero state, that's the crucial bit. It's not an error state.
Okay.
When a system like an AI trader hits a situation that's too complex or uncertain based on its rules, it doesn't just guess or crash. It triggers what the research calls an epistemic hold, or more poetically, a sacred pause.
A sacred pause. I like that. So it's like the system itself raises a flag
Yeah.
saying, hang on, this needs review.
Precisely. It's a designed intervention. It turns that moment of ambiguity, which could be a huge risk, into evidence, auditable proof that the system recognized uncertainty and paused deliberately. That pause itself becomes data.
Which then generates outputs, I assume.
Exactly. You get structured decision logs, they show the outcome. Plus one for proceed, zero for hold, minus one for refuse. And critically, they show the inputs and the reason for the decision. Human readable, potentially legally admissible. Plus, every major decision gets recorded on an immutable ledger, tamper evident, a permanent audit trail.
Okay, immutable logs sound good, but trust is everything in finance. How do you guarantee the integrity of these logs? The research mentions a hybrid shield. What's that about? Is it just more crypto?
It's a bit more nuanced. It combines cryptographic security, yes, hashing the logs to ensure they aren't tampered with, but it keeps institutional oversight in the loop. Regulators, maybe even designated NGOs, can act as validators. They validate the proof's integrity without needing to see all the underlying sensitive proprietary data. It keeps humans in control of the technology.
Right, separating the proof from the raw data. That makes sense. So connecting the dots. BIS sets the policy, the rules.
You're right.
TL provides the verifiable plumbing, the proof that the rules are followed.
That's the core idea. They complement each other. BIS is the institutional layer, TL is the evidentiary architectural layer. It shifts trust, or rather, it grounds trust from just legal agreements and assumptions to something socio-technical, verifiable.
And this has global implications, especially for cross-border stuff. The research talks about anchors.
Yes, anchors are key for that. Think of them as cryptographic proofs, like digital seals, for really significant events, like a major settlement between financial institutions or a firm submitting a key regulatory filing. These anchors get recorded on a shared, perhaps permissioned ledger accessible by relevant central banks.
So one central bank could verify if another country's institution met a requirement instantly.
Potentially, yes. They verify the anchor. The proof of compliance exists and is valid. They don't need access to the sensitive transaction details behind it. It helps overcome data sovereignty issues while still enabling oversight. It fosters cooperation, which is a huge goal for the BIS, by building trust on a technical foundation.
Okay, it sounds powerful, but how does something like this actually get adopted? It feels like a big leap.
It probably starts incrementally. The paper suggests a Model 1, where TL is offered as a voluntary toolkit, subtech or regtech. This fits well with the kind of experimental work the BIS Innovation Hub is already doing. Let firms and regulators test it out, see the benefits.
And then what's the end game?
Model 2. That's formal evidentiary integration. This is where it gets really transformative. The anchors, the proofs generated by TL systems, would become formally recognized evidence for meeting regulatory requirements, like those under Basel. They could augment, or maybe eventually replace, some of the traditional attestation-based reporting.
So, wrapping up, TL essentially gives the BIS framework a memory, an undeniable record. BIS is the mind, setting the rules, and TL becomes the memory, the immutable proof of adherence.
That's a good way to put it. It creates what the source calls an enforceable history. Abstract concepts like prudence become concrete, mathematically verifiable. And maybe the final thought to leave everyone with is this. What happens to finance, to power dynamics, when accountability is grounded in undeniable truth? What I didn't know, or it was complex, is replaced by an immutable log showing exactly what the system knew and decided. Something to consider.